is you check how you've gone with all of your learning for the year. And sometimes you haven't done much learning through most of the year and you end up cramming a lot of learning into the last few hours before the exam. At least that's what I used to do when I was studying. And lots of late nights and things like that. But I thought, since everybody else is going through that trauma or that maybe that joyful experience, that it would be good for me to do a bit of a check-in for myself too about how I've gone this year. At the beginning of the year, as a theme for the year, we looked at who are we becoming? Now, we have often make plans in lots of areas of our lives about, I want to be a person who owns a house or gets a raise or has a promotion or gets a new job or whatever it happens to be. But a deeper question is, what sort of person are we becoming across the weeks and months and years? And we encourage people at the beginning of the year to think about, at the end of this year, how would you like to be a bit more with God in your life? And how would you like to be a bit more like God? And how would you like to be a bit more living for God in your life this year? I don't know how you've gone with that, but here's my report card on how I've gone with that. And as with most report cards, it's a bit mixed. So some of my plans for this year to live more of my life in a conscious awareness of being with God in the moments of my life was that I was going to regularly listen to God for personal covenant words, so what God is saying to me about my identity and relationship with God. And secondly, to cultivate an inner stillness. And I would say that I've not listened to God as much as I should have about that, but on the other hand, I have more deeply and richly strengthened that sense of my identity as a child of God through the Lord's Prayer, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And Chris and I were fortunate enough to be on a holiday out in the outback, and there was a time out there where I really observed the stillness of the environment around me. And that I used with a photo that I took, and I've used that to help remind me about cultivating inner stillness. But when you're trying to live our life that's with a more with God life or whatever it is, we can be surprised by things. And one of the things that I was, I guess, it's been helpful for me in recent months actually is the bit from Isaiah where he says, in chapter 6, on the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And these angelic beings then say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory." And so for me, actually, trying to cultivate an awareness of the glory of God whenever I step outside has been a really significant thing for me. You know, sometimes when you go into cathedrals, there's a sense of worship, right? Well, for me, it's been, I need to cultivate that sense of worship whenever I'm in the cathedral of creation. And so for me, that's been a unplanned but useful thing for me in cultivating the with God life. So some of the things I've set out to do at the beginning of the year I have done, not as much as I should have. But then God has been gracious in other ways too. My plan for being a bit more like Jesus at the end of this year was to say no to my feelings and desires more and to say yes to the Spirit's leading more. And again, the Lord's Prayer has been helpful for me in this. Give us today our daily bread. That I then, when I'm the certain desires and other things like that, or needs or wants in my life that sometimes and sometimes still do dominate my thinking or my choices, I have been attempting to bring them to God and say, "God, well, these are the things that I have, but I want to see them fulfilled through you and in your ways and not my ways." There's one particular experience I had where I really wanted something, and I felt like if I didn't get it, I was about to die. Have you had experiences like that where you have inner desires or urges or whatever that that they seem so immediate and so necessary that you just have to act on them, right? But that's a lie, right? That's what I discovered. And I knew that before, and that's a lie. And that if I just stop there for a while and notice that that's what I'm wanting or desiring without acting on it, then I can actually, there's space for me to connect with God and trust God for it. So that's my like God stuff. My for God stuff was to seek some prophetic guidance more regularly for our missional community and for me. And I would say that's one of the three areas, that's the one I've done the least of. But I have been aware of a person that I connect with and it's not no one here today, so I'm not talking about anyone here today, that I connected with, that I've been aware of the need to be praying for in a more intercessory way, and secondly, to be listening to God for the words to say that to them when I meet them or meet with them. And so I've done it in that particular case, and now I've just got to make sure I do that in some more cases. So that's my report card to you. Some things have gone well, other things not so well. And I just encourage you to look back over your 12 months, and you might think, oh yeah, I thought it back in February I was going to do this, and I haven't done anything for 10 months. That's all right. God is good. Jesus is gracious. Jesus will complete his work in you. He will get it done. And we can be confident of that. And so you might like to, just like me, do a bit of reflecting back how you've gone with the sort of person that you would like to become. Because we need to be forward-looking people and not backward-looking people. It doesn't matter how old we are. We're looking forward to the people that God is calling us to be and working in our lives to make us to be. So that's the first thing about the end of year, there's exams, right? The second thing about the end of the year is that there's parties with food. And some of those parties are like smorgasbords, right? And you just go and there's all different sorts of food. You know, that when we were living down in Geelong, there was for a time a restaurant, I don't know whether it still exists, it's called Smorgies. And it was built out on the old pier in Geelong, and you'd pay a fixed price, and then basically you could just keep going, and there was just food, like more, it wasn't terribly maybe high quality food, but the quantity was certainly there. And I don't know about you, but for me, in the gatherings that are going to be happening over the next few days and weeks, one of the most important words that I will hear, and I dare say it, if you've got young teenage boys, one of the most important words that will prick their ears and that will bring them to attention whenever there's food involved, and that's the word seconds. And we've been praying and trusting God that through this year that we would have a smorgasbord of spiritual food for us to eat. And we've done that in lots of different ways. And one of the ways we've done that is in our Sunday sermons. And so, just like last year, today I want us to pause and I want you to hear the word seconds. And what we're going to do is we're just going to go through a brief overview of some of the dishes that have been on offer this year. And when we go through them, there might be one dish you say, I'm going back, I want some more of that chocolate fudge. Or I want some more of that nachos, or I want some more of whatever. And so as we go through the spiritual food that we've looked at this year, I just want you to be thinking about and looking for the one or two things. Oh yeah, I need to go and revisit that. I need to remind myself of that. I need to dig into that some more. And it will be different for each one of us here. Some of us here have sweet tooths. Some of us here have savoury tooths. Some of us here just have teeth for food, right? And to help us do that and help us have access to that, there's a new blog post on the church website. And if you've got a smartphone, feel free to whip out your phone, go to encounterbaptist.org.au, because that's where you'll find a list of all the sermons we've had in our church this year. And for those of you who aren't into technology stuff, we even have some special versions of these lists that don't ever need recharging. And so there's about three or four down the front here, so you can grab some of them after. And so obviously we're not going to be going to great details with all of these, but I just want, as we go through these, that you just are again saying, God, what's the thing that you want me to go back and have some more of this about? What are the seconds that you want me to go for this year? At the beginning of the year in January, we started with looking at the theme of temple. And we referred to that through the year, but we saw that the Bible uses that as the framework or a metaphor for really constructing the whole Bible. It starts in Genesis chapter 1 and it ends in Revelation chapter 22. Because temples are places where heaven and earth connect, where the spiritual and the physical come together. And we started by seeing that God's intention in creation was for that the whole creation was a temple, was a cathedral. And instead, like other religions will have temples with idols in those temples, God's intention, and those idols would be representatives of the God. God made you and me and all humans as images of God, the representatives of God. But then we know that humans walked away from that privilege and responsibility in Genesis 3. And then so God starts a long process of restoring that original intention. And we see that God called a person Abraham, and he made him into a nation. And then he called them out of slavery in Egypt into the wilderness. And there he created the tabernacle, which was the place where God dwelt amongst them. They eventually went to Israel and they built a temple, which was the place where God dwelt amongst them. But then they went to exile and the temple was destroyed. They came back, the temple was rebuilt, but the presence of God never filled the temple like it did the first time. But then Jesus came and the Gospels describe him as the temple. And then on Pentecost, the Spirit fell. And the New Testament talks about God's people as now the temple of God, the place where heaven and earth connect. So you and I together are people, are called by God to be the places where heaven and earth connect, where God connects to this world. And it happens by his Spirit. That's a deep and profound thing. Definitely worth reflecting on. And then in February we looked at our planning to, how can we be more with, like, and for God? And I've already referred to that in my report card, I guess, back to you. But a lot of us spend lots of time looking in mirrors, don't we? We look in mirrors to see how much hair we have left. We look in the mirror of our bank accounts to see how wealthy we are. But what God calls us to be is mirrors at an angle where we reflect God's glory into the world around us. And there's some resources in the app and a few other things about how we can do that. We then did some theology. It's really important for us to do some maybe more theological things from time to time. It's all theology, but more specific topics in theology that people wrestle with. And we looked at issues of the Trinity and the issues of the atonement. And I'm not going to go again through all of the details there, but these are important things and ideas that Christians have thought through and wrestled through over the centuries to help us have a deeper understanding of who God is, how God relates to us, and how we relate to him. And so if you have some questions about, for example, the Trinity, and that's a complex area, we looked at some of the ways in which people have some misconceptions about who God is and what the Trinity is in that particular sermon. Then we started a series, Building Long-Term Relationships. And we saw that at the beginning, the basis for long-term relationships is actually that God is a God of long-term relationships. It actually stems out of the eternal relationships that exist within the Godhead between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we see also that then through the evidence of the Scriptures is that God is into long-term relationships with individuals and with groups of people. And there are things you can get out of long-term relationships that you can't just get out of short-term ones. It's a bit like you can't get any enjoyment of a aged bottle of wine any other way. It just has to be aged for years and years. And there's things that we get out of long-term relationships that you just can't get any other way. But we live in a society that actively acts against and mitigates against or undermines long-term relationships. There's structural and economic and all sorts of different ones that aren't necessarily intentional that way, but their effect is to pull people apart and to put stress on long-term relationships. And so we need to understand those and be aware of those. We need to be people who say, I understand that there's goodness in long-term relationships and that it comes actually from God. But then we also need to be thinking about the sorts of people that we are becoming and the characteristics we have that will help support and undergird long-term relationships. And Paul talked about some of those things. There were six F words, and they included things like faith and filters and forgiveness and other things. And in the middle of that series, there was Easter Sunday. And Easter, with the resurrection of Jesus, expands our time horizons. Our life isn't just these few 70, 80, 90, 100 years or whatever that we have on this earth, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. It actually extends beyond that, through into eternity. And so however old you are feeling this morning, you've only lived a fraction of your life with God. And then we looked at recovering from rejection. Rejection is a rampant thing in our lives and in our society. And all of us, whether we like it or not, visit the reject shop on a regular basis. And we get wounded by rejection, and sometimes we use rejection as a weapon towards others. And that can break our hearts. But the Bible says that God is a God who heals the brokenhearted, who binds up those wounds. And we spent a Sunday looking at how we can recover from rejection. And that's a deep thing that we need to be able to do to sustain our long-term relationships. We also looked at list management. Not in the football sense, and we had a dig at Carlton at Edwin's expense. But whether we like it or not, all of us in our relationships, and particularly our close relationships, keep two sorts of lists. And even if you're not a list-taking person in life, I'm not a list-taking person in life, some people are really, really good at making lists for everything. Right? You know, they even have a list for everything they're going to do on every day of their holiday. They're sort of really detailed planning people. I'm not one of those people, but I still keep these lists. And particularly in close relationships and important relationships, they're lists of grievances and gratitudes. Now here's the thing, we're all experts at keeping the list of grievances, and that can tend to become very long. We need to practice shortening that list by forgiving people. And we need to more intentionally build the length of our lists of gratitudes. Because people in our lives, they just do stuff, and that can be the simple things like saying hello or getting you a cup of tea, and they just do it day after day and week after week and year after year. And if you start to remember and be grateful for all of the cups of tea or all of the things that they've done, suddenly your list of gratitude becomes incredibly long. And it will sustain your long-term relationships. And finally, we had the great privilege of Ian and Jan coming up here and sharing about some of their hard-won lessons over their long marriage and what they've learned and how God's been helpful for them in that. That's a great one. I'd encourage you, if you don't listen to any other one, go and listen to that one again online. So some great stuff about relationships and the importance of them and how God wants us to have them and the things that we need to do to help sustain them. In the middle of each year, we usually take some part of the Bible and look at it in depth. And this year, we had a series which we called the One-Hit Wonders. And they're all the small books of the Bible that nobody hardly ever reads, and certainly people hardly ever speak, give sermon series on. And so we covered Lamentations, Joel, 2 John, 3 John, Obadiah, Nahum and Jude. And some of us may have never even read some of those books of the Bible, but people invested time of and invested weeks and months and years of their lives copying them out carefully, so that they could be passed on to the next generation. And if they made a mistake, they'd rip up the whole manuscript and they'd write and they'd start all over again because they were so committed to passing it on accurately from one generation to the next. This is in the days before printers and scanners and Dropbox and all those sorts of things. You actually had to invest lots of time and resources in passing on copies down through the years. And in Lamentations, we saw the appropriate response to tragedy. And how that in God, there is some, you can also find some hope in the midst of it. In Joel, we saw about what you need to do when you're in a powerless situation, and you can cry out to God in your powerless situation. In 2 John, we saw that we need to be careful about the theology that we bring into our lives through external sources. And in 3 John, we looked at ways not to do church conflict. Then we looked at Obadiah, and I called it the ambiguity of Schadenfreude. And we played a clip from Avenue Q. And there's words for Schadenfreude, and I think the English word is epicharis, but no one would ever use that word because Schadenfreude is just much better to say, right? It's the ambiguous because it's the Schadenfreude is the sense of pleasure we have at someone else's misfortune. And for Obadiah, he was giving a prophetic word of judgment to Edom, who was gloating over the overrunning and the exile of Judah. And lots of our world today, with YouTube videos and social media feeds, we live in a Schadenfreude-rich environment. It's almost like this peak Schadenfreude. But it can be ambiguous, right? Because sometimes we're just relieved that what happened to that person didn't happen to me. Sometimes we are actually taking glee at their expense. Sometimes it's a reaction that, yes, justice has happened. So Schadenfreude in and of itself isn't necessarily bad, it's ambiguous. But we need to be thinking carefully about how we're thinking and feeling and responding to the tragedies that happen in other people's lives. The book of Nahum reminds us that empires are judged. And God had sent Jonah toward Babylon, and then years later he sent Nahum, and Nahum pronounced the word of judgment because they hadn't taken heed of God's word over the long term. Now, you and I aren't leading empires of nations, but we all have our own little kingdoms. And we need to remember that God judges empires. And then we finish the series with Jude. We need to be judicious about ungodly teachers because it's serious. Inspired by Rove McManus, we then rolled into a series called What The? Things that cause us to go, what the? And we looked at some areas where people often have questions about stuff. We looked at why were the disciples terrified of Jesus after the storm was stilled? We looked at the issue of hell and what does that mean and how does that in our day and age, and we looked at peeling away the cultural overlays that have been overlaid on hell and looked at what the Bible talked about. We looked at doubt, and then in a sort of joint thing we looked at imperfect fathers and other faiths. We didn't get through all of the questions that people have about what they're wrestling with and how they're trying to figure out how Christianity connects to their life and the situation around it, but we certainly looked at a fair range of those. Then, inspired by the daily readings from our daily Bible reading program, and it's in our church Bible reading app, we looked at Psalm 1 and we looked at what true prosperity was and how that there's other stories about what prosperity is that exists in our culture, and we need to be tapped into what true prosperity is. We looked from Psalm 73 and other places about soul health and how do we cope with the anguish of our soul. Not just sort of mental health, which is important, but from a Christian perspective, it's not just about your mental health, but it's about your soul, which is your life in view of God. So it's not just your mental thoughts in isolation, but it's who you are before God. And as Christians, we can talk into soul health. We don't necessarily pretend to be mental health experts, but we can certainly talk into our soul health and how we deal with soul anguish. And again, Lindsay did some sharing on some of the things that have been wisdom for him in his life, as he's been really helpful for him down through the decades. And he referred to stories that he'd learnt decades ago back at Belgrave and how they had been really helpful for him over his life. And it's really rich when we can get access to that sort of wisdom, isn't it? We then did a series which we hope will become an annual event, where we looked at Christian history. Now, not all of it, but we looked at, we had Mia Kafieris come, and she spoke to us about monasticism. A great sermon. If you haven't heard it, I encourage you to hear that. That the importance of and how they contributed to Christian history, particularly through the Middle Ages. We looked at the title of the series was entitled "Who Do We Think We Are?" And we saw how we could trace from some missionaries back in the 800s called Methodius and Cyril, and how that went through the Moravians and then through and Wesley and even down to us today. Part of the heritage that has informed and shaped who we are as a church today. And finally, we looked at one aspect of what it is to be Baptist and understanding the inspiration and authority of the Bible. And then we finished off the year in November by looking at the book within a book in the Gospel of Mark. That's bracketed by the two stories of healing of blind people. They're the only two people of blind people that are talked about being healed in the book of Mark. And within those two, from the end of Mark chapter 8 through to the end of Mark chapter 10, there's lots of different things that Jesus engaged with his disciples to help them grow up as disciples. And a key thing that we saw that those disciples did was that they asked Jesus development questions. They were trying to be like Jesus. And some of them were trying to be like Jesus by casting a demon out. And they couldn't do it. And so they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And when we're wanting to be like Jesus, we need to ask Jesus those sort of questions. Why am I not like that yet? Or what do I need to do next to become more like you, Jesus? We need to be asking Jesus development questions. And you will have your own particular development questions that will be top of mind for you at any particular time. And then in Mark chapter 10, we saw that God actually speaks into the big areas of life, and that discipleship is not just the religious part of our lives, but it involves the big areas like sex, money and power. And those things impact us on a daily basis and certainly frame our life. I'm not talking about whether we're talking about in detail, but they're the things that shape our lives in deeply significant ways. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we need to be hearing the ways that he wants us to change our approach to them. Particularly the power one. We saw how Jesus is an upside down kingdom. If you want to be the ruler of all, you've got to become the least. The greatest becomes the servant. It's a radical upending of power structures. And we need to be, as we follow Jesus, we need to say, Jesus, how does that play out in my life? How does that play out as I in my home? How does that play out with my friends and in my workplaces? How does the upside down nature of the kingdom make itself evident? And we finished 2 weeks ago with looking at the Lord's Prayer. And looking at it as a diamond. There's only 57 words in the original Greek in Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. But it's a prayer that's short but incredibly dense and powerful. It's like a multifaceted diamond. You can look at it from many different ways. And we just suggested three ways that you can look at the Lord's Prayer that you may have not looked at it as before. First is a prayer of conversation, and you can pray each line and think about how God would respond to you as you pray that line to God. What would God say that to you? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In Jesus' experience, Jesus heard his Father saying, you're my Son whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. And we need to be open to hearing from God those sorts of things in response to each line of the Lord's Prayer. But it's also a prayer of restoration that attaches our appetites, approvals and ambitions back into God's blessing, provision, God's blessing, abundance and purpose. And that can be a prayer of restoration where our identity is fractured because we've been cut off from God. Praying through the Lord's Prayer can reconnect us to God and restore us to be the people that God intended us to be. And as we, on a daily basis, wrestle with those identity issues, we can then come into our lives not just full of the Spirit, but full of the power of the Spirit. A prayer of conversation, restoration, and empowerment. So there, in a brief few words, we've covered the smorgasbord of the year. There's been other small groups, there's been Jesus the Game Changer, there's been church camp, there's been other ways that people have engaged with spiritual content. But I encourage you today to think about the word seconds. There's seconds available for you. And maybe one of those areas has prompted you or has grabbed you. And so I encourage you to find some way to go and take seconds in that area. Listen to a sermon again, get a book, read a passage of the Bible, talk to someone, talk to me. But God has a smorgasbord of spiritual riches for us that's relevant to every aspect of our lives. And I encourage you to take advantage of God's bounty. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you will complete your work in us. And we will be like Jesus. And we thank you, God, for the riches that you put before us. Lord, we are so often spiritually hungry and needy. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us here to grab hold of the particular riches that we need for our lives right now. I just want you to think about maybe that one area in your life that God's grabbed your attention or reminded you of this morning. And I just want you to think, what's the simple next step I can take to go and get seconds? Let's stand together and sing.